And Eric, at that time, we survived in Paris because we came to Paris without money. So a very marvelous incident. We came and were in this little hotel, which was filled from bath cellar to to the top with refugees who had just arrived. And of course, Eric's three brothers were also there. And so we came, are there any letters? And so the people around us, you know, who all also came from this, usually from Vienna or so, heard Zeisel a great deal. And the name, and they remembered the name. And it was maybe in 2 or 3 days after we had arrived in Paris when in the morning the telephone rang and somebody said, "Are you Mr. Eric Zeisel?" And I said, "Yes, Eric Zeisel is here." He said, in the Paris Tageszeitung, that's the journal, you know, it was called a journal, you know, a newspaper called Paris Tageszeitung, there's a very big ad looking for you. So we went down and bought the paper, and sure enough, there was a big ad, you know, Eric Zeisel, composer, this time in Paris, is asked to call the number, so and so. So I said to Eric, "You don't call." I was afraid it was like a Gestapo or something, you know. And so I called, and it turned out that Eric had had in Vienna a, if you want to call it a student, he was a dealer, an art dealer, and he had wanted to compose little waltzes and so that he had in his mind, and Eric was putting it down for him because he couldn't do that. And this man had then moved to Paris, and he had a customer, a rich Spaniard, and who had said at one time to him, "You know, I have made a lot of money," he said, "and that was my goal for a long time. But now I am settled and I have enough and I'm well seen," he said. "And I would so much like, I have my head full of music and I would like to write it down." And this art dealer said, "Look here, I knew the man who could do that for you. Maybe will you spend the money for an ad?" And he said, "Yes." And that was 2 days after we had arrived. Well, to make it short, we lived off this man, you know. He made our stay in Paris possible and very enjoyable. And we have, of course, lived only in a hotel room, and the hotel room was very cold and disagreeable. And so Eric took that music, you know, that he was doing for this man to the Café Weber, you know, and was writing there on a table. And Anna was there. And when she saw somebody writing music, she immediately left her place and set herself next to him. And when I came to fetch Eric there, he was sitting with her. And Bertel was there too, you know. And she was at that time 60 years old, but beautiful, like, you know, a charming, sweet face, you know, blonde. And so we became very good friends. She had asked him, you know, what he was writing, and told her. And she had this kind of flair. She knew immediately if somebody was somebody, you know. And so we then were friends, and that continued when we came here to Los Angeles. And so we went to visit her quite often. And she could say remarkable things, and I was terribly disappointed when I read her book. And the two figures, you know, the two personalities that emerge from her book and that I knew are so completely different that I can't understand how they could fit. But she had that when she was with somebody who was somebody, or especially a creative person, that she became like a mirror.
She
reflected. And she would then also say great things and marvelous things, you know.
She made a very concise observation about Eric, though.
So when he played his music to her, and she admired it greatly and talked to many people about it, how impressed she was, she said, "You are a tonal nature, just like Schoenberg is an atonal one."
And I think perhaps we have time for this one final story, which illustrates the uniqueness of Eric. Perhaps you could describe the episode where he would wait for you at lunchtime.
Well,